Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everybody. Sorry about that long intro. So I have a few different things here. I'm trying to give you a range of stuff. I grew up in West Dublin in a place called Blanchardstown, which is a suburb of Dublin. Lots of my ancestors are from Cork and from Skibbereen. Is anybody from West Cork here? My influences are, at the moment, multicultural, probably because from the age of about 10 or 11, where I lived in Dublin, exploded. The population changed from maybe two or three nationalities to maybe 90. Also, I work as a TEFL teacher most of the time, so I meet people from around the world. And two of my three children are half Lithuanian. And because of that, I have many Eastern European friends for them. So, this is the first poem based on a Roma gypsy beggar that I see every day at the traffic lights when I'm driving my kids to school. So it's called Rasputin in Dublin 15. He's a mad bastard. He lives on a traffic island opposite the Lithuanian shop there in Blanchardstown. You already know exactly what he looks like. Wax trench coat, old white hirachis laced up to cut off blood. He fell out of an aristocrat's river. He was reincarnated as a gypsy, and now he's an alcoholic. Rasputin, look at the hack of you. Plastic rosary beads around your neck. Coffee cup begging, trying to wash car windows. Your beard a greasy bib. There's a demon on each of your shoulders. Angry, bulbous, leather little yolks. They try to eat the flies circling your head. Aneta Volova, the owner of the laundrette, does be having none of you. Shoo, she actually said last week, the wagon, when you tried to beckon over her chihuahua pixie. The weekend teenage bus stop boys call the dog Poxy. They think you're deadly and give the dog vodka. And you. Makes you see the road as an eel, a strip of the old world. One time, two of the Nigerian girls on their way home from school cut through the tunnels and ran straight into you. On your way back from a route around the hospital grounds. Papa Legba, they called you, screaming blue murder. And it's true, you were standing at the T junction because a 39 bus was trundling by, full of college students, affluents, accents that don't see you. They can't, only the new, the strangers, and underdogs do. So that's that one. This is a poem about my daughter starting secondary school. So she's in first year at the moment. And she's not very cheeky. So it's called Millennials. I go to Hades once a month to check if I'm still alive. I look up at the roots of the trees. Ash, oak, lime. Those subterranean lungs, broccoli, bronchioles. There are 35 nationalities in the incoming class. Gender is fluid. Words flow. 2.5 decades cracked open the sternum of this land. This is the healing. The salt has fallen out of the letters. Where once each consonant held bile, a scum floating on the surface of solicitors' diatribes. No ripple of truth, so my liver told. Pushed down on solar plexus, every drop of gall incurred. Curs, hurls, ties, cars, boys, men, schoolyards, stockrooms, shady Shelleran Road, places where gangsters were felled, crashed trees made the news, but not the attempt to rape to silence me on a post-session Saturday. The tiger's roar of that decade screamed louder than goodness. I release my silence and write a lustration. Setting my daughter's star on the arc of the roots, I make this map a guide for her to live by, across inches, circumferences, among trees, overland. Okay, that was a very serious one. This one's a little bit cuter. So my son was 4 on Saturday, and it's a bit of a party animal. And it's actually great crack. So a few years ago I became a single parent, and this is a poem dedicated to my youngest son on his birthday. See kind of how far we've come since that time. So this is to Caius on his fourth birthday. From a wine dark table, I see a still bald treetop alone. Snakes and ladders under many cards, my 57 month companion. I had thought during the labouring that I was going away from the world, leaving your siblings. You made a star of me in that triangle, the consultant at my back, your father's arms, the masts I clung to, and I a ship in full sail. Up from the hold you came, all vernix and April fury. But there has been no betrayal, and I am no ship. We are on land. Another branch, you, grow carefree, shook off rain, snow, and we are fractal, we are fractal, we are 4 years fractal. Is that one? Oh, I had a plan here and I've lost it now, shit. Excuse me. I'm going to read you the first poem that was ever published. It was kind of the first poem that I ever wrote when I was in a mad rage writing in car parks on school runs. So there's a lady, lesbian lady poet that I like called U.A. Fanthorpe. She's a beautiful poem called Atlas about the person that you love kind of holding up your world, you know, paying the bills, being organised, doing all the important stuff for you. So this poem is in response to that poem and it's called Nobody Can Be Atlas. I keep thinking about U.A. Fanthorpe and the suspect edifice held up in the air and the beach sky, Wexford. Him flying kite, me holding the babies, sand whipping us and my fingers tipping the sky, holding up the blue sheet of it. That's that one. Yeah. Oh God, okay, right, we're on to art poems now. My list's gone. Okay, so if anybody has ever been to Shirkin Island, I was there 2 years ago. I think there's a pub called the Jolly Roger, that might be the one I'm thinking of. So outside the front of it, there are signs with artists' names written on them. And when I was there, I noticed one of them, and I thought the name sounded lovely. It was an Italian name, Artemisia Gentileschi, and I thought, who's that, you know, so I thought she lived on Shirkin Island, turns out she didn't. So she's a woman who came after Caravaggio, her father was a contemporary of his, so I used to study art and paint, and I still paint a little bit, so this is about her, kind of, anyway, it's inspired by her. So it's called Artemisia. On Shirkin Island, I sat at a picnic table, shelling mussels atop a hill. I saw holes cut in iron that the sun shone through, spelling her name, the green and blue, the breeze of it. She appeared beside me, told me of the bitterness in her throat. Pluck out that almond once a month, she said. Have your friends Heimlich manoeuvre it. Extract milk, make a face mask. Apart from that liver line on your brow, you'll start looking younger. Some months you might find raspberry seeds embedded in your tonsils. Grow them, bake a cake. Should you find a lump of lead, draw a woman. I did. I climbed inside her. She fit me just fine. A year later, I returned, sat at the same table with a German tourist. You have a double shadow. That's grief, she said. Let me rub it out, taking a giant eraser from Tiger out of her long skirt pockets. Wombs, she said. The bright bricks, the fimbria, are our houses. She told me her name was Judith. She was a fencer. I could have cut that shadow, she smiled. Oh yeah, I like this one. This one's new. This is a published set, so probably it's good. It's in two parts. So there's a legend from Iraq called Gilgamesh. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. It's really old. It's really cool. I really like it. Gilgamesh goes off into the forest and fights monsters. So, but he has a sister and her name no one can pronounce it. So I made up a story, a little poem about Gilgamesh's sister, and I imagined her as kind of somebody around my age, how our life was, would have been at 20 and then at 30, and the differences between them. So the first part is Gilgamesh's sister at 20. The girl with gold, traversing skies under bridges, running hands on perennials, ghost forests, pines and cones, no vast monsters. She cups the bones of her freedom without the control of what is recorded, spoken, written. She is caviar storm, eggs full carrying. Schemes wrap her rainbow peripherals. Sliver of sun comes to greet retinas. Cameras slice absinthe army. She is her own drum, skin just dried. Sun warm in darkness, fingers giddy with sky. Fallen trees, a step into vertigo. 6 month loves, portions of herself she feeds on. Held by the world, she is an open pomegranate, burst ready rubies. And now, she's 30, all the shit's gonna hit the fan. Gilgamesh's sister at 30. Cedar trees ring the ghost estate where Gilgamesh's sister lives. She came to Cabra when she was 10. Nobody could pronounce her name. Her Iraqi eyes silently raising the French teacher to the ground by the time she was 13. The school corridor is a swirl of epic Dublin glottal stops, tongues kept low, a class position of holding in the breath, of holding in the life. Post-colonial peacetime madness she couldn't comprehend, but dropped her T's by 15 to swim with the shoal. Gilgamesh's sister, does anyone remember your name? In this sprawled, sunken town, in this vulture-funded house, alone in the galley kitchen, the bachelor palette, biscuit, blue, black. The hand that rocks the clock tells her eyes it's pill time. Her sleeping son of 6 months clambers over clouds. Out of the golden, curled, respiring, solid limbs, on dreams he flies laughing away from his young mother, a stone at the bottom of the teal sea, a broken galleon. Her mind is stretched like hide, skinning over and around time. Black clouds on her peripheral vision bicker. Poor Gilgamesh's sister. She's not having a good time. Oh yeah, I've got a repeal poem. Repeal the 8th poem. It's just from a couple of days ago. I was at an event in Meath, and there were some speakers there about the speaking about the Repeal the 8th campaign. So that was where I studied about 10 years ago. So it just brought back some memories. Okay, so this is called Now We Do More Than Cry in Toilets. Yes, on the back of the toilet door in the John Hume building, there's a repeal campaign sticker. Bracelets argued around it. The scent of the orange doors reverses the decade to when I was an undergraduate with my toddler daughter on campus. I was an anomaly. I chose the tough road and not the perhaps tougher boat to Liverpool. During my studies, the toilet doors were smooth, silent. What a miracle the silence has moved up from the collective heart, cubicle, to word, to deed, to text, soon to law. So, this is a sexy poem. It's always a bit risky when there's so many men in the room. Okay, there you go. Just to explain, there's one Lithuanian word in this poem, and I was on the train today, my friend Egle was sending me voice messages how to pronounce it, so I hope I got it correct. Undine means mermaid. Okay, so this poem is called Kundalini. Night vaults across the ceiling, out the Velux window, a net, fish-laden, stars clinging. What are you, Undine? He asks without article. Her fiery fountains, lava, water, the floor ruined, tiny arcs float. Flying fox's eyes watch the eels from corners. His mouth slack at the alien pupils. These are not my tears, shout pops the heart. Her hands dig him, he's massed. Rainbow judders up volcanic spine, burst through marine snow, a crown. So that's that one. Thank you. from the loan crowd. I'll just check one second. Oh yeah, this one's nice. Does anybody know Pablo Neruda? When I was younger, I used to read a lot of his poetry in Spanish and try and learn Spanish. But I decided to try to write a sonnet in the form that he uses. There are two quatrains and then two stanzas with three lines each. So this poem is based on a Roma girl that I see all the time. She lives in my estate. She goes up to the next town to Aldi to go begging every day, and I see her little brothers in school wearing beautiful clothes. It's quite a strange culture to me, so I tried to get inside maybe how I tried to imagine how her life could be and turn it into something maybe positive. So this is called Love after Neruda's Sonnet 33. Florica walks behind Inspector to home where she's not at home. Children's eyes and begonias meet her here on this threshold, waiting for her to give them chocolate, water. Her crushed velvet skirts have followed him, silvered through tracts across Karst, Carpathia, Kiev, Berlin, now here to eternal damp and clouded summers and loved masonry. He sees the amber of the sun in her kitchen eyes at day's end. She's a building that flies without buttress. He lets her make coffee and listens to her laugh, peel in time to the boiling water, bells in unison. I'll do one more that's not done anything. This isn't published at all. This is about going to a horrible, horrible family law court and my mum and dad being really nice to me that day. When you walk the Camino, I remember you came back with a Mexican amulet and soda bread recipes, skinny and bearded and blue-eyed as ever. You and Mum said this twice-blessed voodoo saved you from that smack on the head in the hostel shower. You put it in my bag this morning and took me in your cherry to cross Lethe and speak my truth. Ghouls swaggered around, one with a calf swastika, growling, performing, dynasties, history's all forms of human life. I had yellow all around me since yesterday, so I ate passion fruit when I came back home. Thank you both for this heart, this stomach not churned. That was the end.